I am Healthy Radio, the global voice for alternative health and the next paradigm. Here's Stephen Halpern.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Stephen Halpern and friends on the I Am Healthy Network. And today, my friend and esteemed colleague, Zakaria Blackburn, is here with me, speaking from his home in Vermont, where he's just barely there since he's been on the road so much. So, Zakaria, welcome, and thank you for making the time available today.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, now, a lot of people don't know your name yet, but you are traveling internationally. Let me read a little bit from your bio, and then we'll get into why you're so busy and
okay.
The work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Sure. So I met Zakaria several years ago at a sound healing conference and was instantly attracted and aware of a very powerful energy field. And it turns out that he's a gifted intuitive teacher and sound healer. He's been trained in classical healing and shamanic traditions and also in sacred sound cultures. He teaches internationally at the Center of Light Institute of Sound Healing and Shamanic Studies. And in his teachings, shares authentic trainings in the nature of human consciousness, the shamanic worlds, earth energies, and also teachings on the nature of sound and sacred sound practices. So why don't we begin there and have you explain a little bit to us how you have been expanding your particular niche and entry into the world. Actually, let me just step back. How did you get into this field?
Well, it's been a long exploration, Stephen, starting in my late teenage years and probably starting most specifically when I was actually a student at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. And yes, of all places, you know, I was born and raised in very conservative Texas, and football player, Boy Scout, God and country, the whole thing. And I was standing in my room at the Naval Academy one day in 1969 and heard a distinct voice behind me, a voice I didn't recognize. I turned around to see who was there, and nobody was in the room with me. It required me to look at the nature of reality in ways that were not part of my normal construction of reality. And that voice continued to speak and guide me over the next several years until I shifted my life path. And as that began to occur, I started going into spontaneous awakening experiences and literally experiencing unified states of consciousness with all life. And that definitely put away all of my belief systems from any prior times in my life and really required of me to begin studying and looking at the nature of consciousness and the nature of reality beyond what the normal Western construct of reality was at that time. Along the way, a friend gave me a bamboo flute as a gift. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about it. I wasn't particularly musically inclined, though I'd played music and sang in choirs as a child. But I just loved it. I fell in love with playing it. I played it intuitively. It had no set scale. It was randomly tuned. It required me to really listen and believe in my own sense of what was harmonic and what was not. I met many people playing other flutes and other instruments, and along the way learned how to make them. I started playing with musicians of other cultures, people from India or people playing Indian music or African music, Chinese music, Native American music would just find me walking down the street, seeing the bag of flutes on my hip and say, wow, you know, why don't you come and play with us? And I started learning about the nature of music of other cultures. I learned the spiritual content of music from other cultures, how people used it as a pathway for spiritual development and growth. And that was the beginning of the journey, and it's been a long one since.
Now, was the bamboo flute, is this the kind of the Indian transverse flute, or is it an end-blown flute?
Well, the first flute was a side-blown flute, much like the Bansuri of India. I really fell in love with the flute when I met the shakuhachi of Japan, and that's when I started making flutes. I began doing it for livelihood. I was really at a crossroads of trying to find how to use this new awareness and new awakening to use it, the healing tools that were being given to me. I had no guides, no teachers, no mentors at the time. This was in the early 70s. There wasn't a lot of holistic thought evident out in the world, especially to me in conservative South. And I was kind of left alone, it felt like, at the time, not really understanding everything that was occurring. And I used the path of flute and flute making as a way to kind of ground myself into an alternative and holistic style of living, and over time was able to invest more of my energy into the investigation of sound and consciousness both. As time went on, I found people beginning actually with David Darling and Paul Winter giving a workshop on using improvisational music and the healing qualities of sound. I eventually met Sarah Benson and Molly Scott. I'd moved up to the Northeast by then and met them doing sound work and began investing more time in that. I worked with a number of native elders and indigenous shamans of different cultures throughout the next 10 to 30 years. And all of that created a stronger foundation of understanding as well as technique and how sound is used to shift consciousness or move into other states of consciousness and to enhance healing and wellness and so forth. And I borrow from all of those traditions, as well as studies incorporating Tibetan understanding, Egyptian mysteries, and a variety of other esoteric cultures' wisdom in the nature of consciousness and sound.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how do you use sound as a therapeutic tool and vehicle in your work?
Well, sound is the vehicle, but consciousness is really what we work with. And some people working with sound come at it from more of a physiological model, more of a psychological model. I really look at the nature of spirit and who we are and what we're doing here in this incarnation, and how we can come to terms with the nature of our own well-being, but that within the context of who we are and the wholeness of our being. We explore the nature of the authentic self and how we can anchor or embody a deeper sense of our authenticity, and that tends to bring us into a deep sense of unity with life. And when we can make that bridge into a more unified feeling sense of who we are and our authentic relationship to the cosmos around us, most of us feel pretty good to go. I began with a lot of intuitive guidance. I've had inner guides that have spoken to and guided me throughout this time since the late 60s when that began. But I've also had many, many wonderful teachers in the embodied teachers of the world. And I incorporate understanding from both worlds, really, in what I do. But the primary nature of my work is entering ecstatic states of being, entering altered states of consciousness or the subtle realms of reality, and calling upon those guides and teachers from the other worlds to come and be present with us. And they basically are emanating very high states of pure being. I feel into those states and give a voice to that. And at the same time, I'm asking the people that are practicing with me, whether it's in an individual session or in a group practice, I have given them a fundamental consciousness practice to do within their own awareness. Awareness is a very powerful tool. We work with the fundamental nature of the human energy system, the chakra system, and so forth. And when you understand how that energy system works and couple it with different awareness practices, you can lock into or anchor very deep states of energy and awareness. So they're doing a fundamental awareness practice while I'm touching into a feeling sense of these beings of the other worlds and giving a voice to the experience that they're sharing with me. It's like emanations of the blessed ones is fundamentally the nature of the experience. And so you have these sounds cascading into the environment that really are coming from those higher essences of being. And it helps us all, it's really through the nature of entrainment, it helps us to entrain to those higher essences of being, which we all hold. We all have very high aspects to our own consciousness, and most of us don't pay a lot of attention to that in our everyday world. We're dealing with feeding the cat and washing the baby and getting to work and finding a way to pay the mortgage and everything else. And we don't focus on our higher state of being. Many of us know of our nature, but we don't experience it very often very directly. And these types of practices help us come into alignment with those higher states of our own being. And it tends to move people in very profound ways. Many people feel that it's just life transforming in the way that they experience the work.
How do people find out about you?
Well, most of it is word of mouth. I have a website presence, and many people do find us online. I've had people literally tell me they were looking up a dentist and my website came up on their computer. So the cosmos is working here somehow in the way in which people find me. But most of it's just through word of mouth. Somebody hears about it. They come and experience it. They're blown away. They tell other people about it. Somebody who has a teaching centers in some other part of the country or in some other country hears about it and says, well, let's bring him here. And I end up traveling to many different sites, sometimes with people who have never experienced the work. They just trust the word of friends who say, wow, you've got to experience this. There's no way to describe it. And that seems to be fairly universal with most people. I've had conversations with people literally for 2 hours trying to tell them what happens in the work because they wanted to know if they should come to a practice or something. Mm. And they come even after a very lengthy explanation thinking they understand what we're going to do. And after the very first practice, they will come up to me and go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. It's just indescribable. And that's really the nature of who we are. When we have an opportunity to enter into those pure states of blissful consciousness of who we truly are as divine beings at one with all of creation, it's like, wow, who cares that my boyfriend left me anymore? Who cares that somebody wounded my heart? You know, I am in love with all of creation, and creation loves me. And when they have a taste, just a glimpse of that higher reality, it brings so much healing to them. The mundane things that most of us trivialize around our lives just become meaningless at that point. It really serves in ways that is hard to describe.
Now, is there, I know this goes beyond some of the traditional questions, but is there any little practice or experience that you can share with us right now that would give us a little sense of these higher realities? We don't have 2 hours to discuss all that, so I'll just put it out there.
Well, if we have 2 hours, there's a lot of things we could do. You know, one of the practices that many different teachers are working with now that works really easily, it's very easy for us all to feel into, is just coherence in the heart. And we could take that to another level if you want, either after I begin this or later if we have 2 hours to work. But just beginning with that is a really profound way to work, and I'm actually going to talk about it for just a couple of minutes, if that's all right, before we go into a practice, because there's a higher evolution to this work, which is coming through more and more, and some of it comes very directly from the wisdom keepers of this planet. I'm sure that you're very familiar with the nature of 2012 and the prophecies of this tremendous shift or transformation in consciousness, which is occurring right now. And more of the elders of the world are speaking out. Many, many cultures, especially coming out of all of the Americas, whether it's Central, South, or North America, there are many indigenous elders who have kept wisdom secret out of necessity just to ensure its survival, but also because there are prophecies that say that we're coming into this very, very unique time of transformation on the planet. We are now in that time. We're deeply immersed in that time. And whether it's the Lakota prophecies of great white buffalo calf woman and the birthing of the white buffalo, which has now occurred yearly for well over a decade, to the prophecies of the Maya that speak to this this cycle within cycle within cycle that's all coming to a precision point of turning on December 21st, 2012. Elders of many cultures are speaking to the nature of reality and what we need to do to assist at this time to come into a greater state of awareness. So we've been working with one of the practices that one of the elders has asked us to work with, and we're simply calling it the Three Hearts Practice. And it begins with coherence within our own heart, within our heart center, actually, in this case, the energetic chakra center that's in the center of the chest. And anyone listening can begin just by feeling into their heart center. You don't need to know where it's located. If you just allow your body's wisdom and feeling senses to guide you, it will be revealed to you. But it's fundamentally in the center of the chest. Start feeling into that place and just begin noticing what you're feeling at this time, whatever that might be. And I'm going to begin sounding a crystal ball. Many people that listen to your program, I'm sure, are familiar with the crystal balls. But these actually arise from a very new technology relating to the computer industry, though people have been using them for a couple of decades or more. But they're based also in many ways upon the ancient Tibetan bowls, which have been used in sound meditations and awareness practices in that part of the world for centuries upon centuries. They emit this very pure crystalline sound that helps us refine our awareness just by listening to the sound, feeling into the vibrations of the sound. Can be very, very beneficial. Many people use just the simple sounds of crystal bowls for healing modalities, and people have tremendous experiences just listening to that sound. And as we listen to that bowl, I'm just going to ask people to begin breathing their awareness more and more deeply into the heart center, deep in the center of the chest. Just noticing whatever they're feeling. But we can guide those states of feeling within the heart very easily, and I'm going to ask people to begin creating what we call a coherent state of either gratitude or appreciation. The coherent states are fundamentally those that create unified consciousness. Coherence literally means that which brings things together. And there are people such as the researchers at the HeartMath Institute in California showing how holding simple coherent states enhance wellness in very, very measurable ways. By bringing in guided imagery practices and intentional sound, it enhances the feeling states even more. I'm sure that you draw upon this research within your own teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And by simply feeling those coherent states, it can enhance our feeling senses. But I am going to ask our listeners to move their awareness with each breath into deeper feeling states within the heart, seeking to find a place of appreciation or gratitude within the heart center. If you have difficulty doing that, you can always simply recall a time in which you experienced it, such as a time when a friend or a loved one gave you a special gift, or you were sitting out in a very, very special place on this beautiful planet, feeling appreciation for the earth itself, laying out under a night sky and experiencing the depth of the cosmos, extending your awareness deep into space, feeling gratitude for the richness and beauty of all creation. Just remembering some time in which you experienced that feeling sense until you can experience that feeling again, and then slowly letting the memory go until you actually are resting now in the present moment, feeling gratitude or appreciation. Ooh. Yeah. while we rest in that heart of coherent feeling, simply let go of any other thoughts or feelings that arise. Feel the emanations or the resonance of that heart of gratitude or appreciation emanating out from within the heart field. You can follow the waves or emanations of that coherence out into space around you, filling your own field, your own energetic field around the body with that feeling sense of coherence, simply radiating out from the heart center. And taking your time to do that, feeling that coherence radiating out. At some point, begin imagining yourself literally sitting upon the body of the earth. Just imagining or feeling as if you literally were sitting directly upon this sacred earth. Feel her pulse and strength beneath you. Feeling the beauty of the earth from beneath you. The love of the earth that generates through her support and her wisdom. Imagining literally that she is a conscious, sentient being, holding and supporting each of us in our own way. Many of us may not be aware of that, but just using the imagination to feel into the earth beneath us. As if it was a living being, feeling the love and support of it. Thinking of some place upon the earth that you feel very precious to you, some place that has given you great joy or wonder. Think of that place now and breathe that feeling sense of gratitude or appreciation, or appreciation into the earth itself. At some point, literally breathing from your heart into her heart as if she were a living being. Just giving thanks to the earth for all that she does, all that she is, for the nourishment she brings to all of us. Indeed, everything that we as humans have created is coming in some way from the bounty of the earth. Give thanks to her. And at some point, begin sending those waves or emanations from your heart center, emanating out through your field of consciousness, down into the earth beneath you, allowing it to stretch deeply into the heart of the earth. Rising up through your body, through your spine, connected to the heart center. Just imagining or sensing those living energies arising from within the body of the earth herself. Enhancing your own feeling states of coherence or appreciation within the heart. For the next several moments, allow those energies to continue to arise. Higher up into the third eye center, into the crown at the top of the head. Slowly, ever slowly opening the crown, imagining a sense of a golden glow above the crown. Feeling into that sense above you. Into awareness of the cosmos above the head, allowing some part of your awareness to rise up into the cosmos, into the sky above you. Just imagine for a moment a dark sky where your awareness is rising into deep space, even feeling the stars around you. Perhaps greeting the sun as your awareness lifts up into the cosmos. Just allowing yourself to imagine that your awareness is raising itself literally into the night sky or deep space above you, and begin feeling out into those stars of the heavens. Allowing your awareness to expand as far as you're able or willing to. You can always bring your awareness back into the heart center if it feels like too much for any reason. But simply allowing your awareness to move further and further out into a feeling sense of the space above you, the stars and the heavens. Some of you may even feel, have a feeling sense of this entire galaxy spinning around the very center of the galaxy, the heart of the galaxy. Again, just using the imagination, so imagine what it must feel like to expand one's awareness around the entirety of this galaxy or into deep space. Imagine yourself coming into awareness of the heart of the galaxy, the center of the galaxy, around which all of those billions of stars are swirling out in deep space. And as you touch awareness into that heart of the galaxy, begin bringing that awareness back into your own heart center, breathing it in, feeling the pulse, beating pulse of the heart of the galaxy. What force must be there that holds and sustains this entire galaxy in motion? Feel into that force of universal love or consciousness, whatever you might imagine it must be. Drawing in that pulse of that life force around which the galaxy spins, and breathe awareness of that into the heart, feeling that pulse residing within the pulse of your own heart center, and feeling the pulse of the earth rising up into the heart as well. Slowly feeling into the pulse of all three, the pulse of the heart of the galaxy, the pulse of your own heart center, and the pulse of the heart of the earth. Just feel into that possibility of holding those three pulses within your own awareness, deep in the center of your own heart, and just allow them to come into a harmony, a harmonious resonance within your own heart, taking your time to feel out into the galaxy, enjoying that pulse of creation, that pulse of the heart of the galaxy into your own heart, in alignment with the heart of the earth. At some point, simply bring the awareness more fully into the heart center, feeling those emanations again emanating out into your own field of consciousness, knowing that the elders share with us that by bringing awareness of our own heart in relationship to the heart of the earth and the heart of this great galaxy will bring us into harmony with all life. and is one of the greatest tools both for transformation and for awakening, to allow us to pass through this time of tremendous transformation that's occurring planetarily right now. By doing simple practices like this and awakening harmony with the greater aspects of life can help us walk daily through our own lives from that place of harmony, can bring to us the ability to make choices that are based from that deeper harmony with all life. By holding that field of coherence from the heart, we can discern very easily, very distinctly, any time that we enter places that are not harmonious, or when we're working with others in all aspects of our life, all relationships, who are not in harmony. We can feel into that very distinctly, and it can assist us to come into greater discernment and awareness, as well as the power to make choices to reside in a harmonious state for our own well-being, but also knowing that we'll bring greater clarity really to the whole world as we come into these places of greater transformation at a planetary as a planet, as a species, as a human species, looking for those ways in which we can enter greater coherence and harmony for all the choices of our life. The elders share with us that at this time we are really moving into the brink of that doorway or gateway for profound transformation planetarily. And we need to look for tools that will assist us during this time of transformation. And I hope that that practice is not the full practice, but it's hopefully enough to give us a taste of what it is we do, but also a tool that others can use at this time to practice in their own lives, to have those enhanced feeling states. Some of the wisdom that comes from the elders also is that simply by holding the feeling states of awareness, of coherence or harmony within the heart, that it not only enhances our wellness, but it also serves to cut through what we call the obscurations. It's a term arising from the Buddhist schools, meaning that which obscures reality, that which keeps us from perceiving and engaging in the greater reality. By holding the harmony and coherence within the heart, the energy itself literally will cut through the obscurations in our life. So all of those things that we might think of as the dysfunctions or the dissonance in our life, the sadness, the grief, the things that we haven't transformed, will tend to fall away as we focus our awareness in the deeper states of harmony and gratitude and the other forms of coherence, which fundamentally are the feeling states we normally think of as the positive emotions, such as a feeling state of peacefulness or compassion or unconditional love. All of these feeling states are shown to enhance wellness. But all of the ancient traditions and the elders today especially are telling us that these feeling states of greater harmony or coherence will help us in all aspects of our life if we simply learn to use them and choose to use them to guide and direct us. We find them to be very, very powerful states of awareness to work with. And I'll be quiet at this time, Stephen. Just let you, Stephen, I'll let you come back when you're ready to go into either to comment on this or to go into other parts of the conversation with you.
Oh, indeed. Thank you. That was profound and deeper than we might have imagined. Hopefully no one was driving during that.
That's something we could have warned them about if we thought about it beforehand, couldn't we?
Well, that answers a lot of questions. Thank you. That was profound and deeper than we might have imagined. Hopefully no one was driving during that.
That's something we could have warned them about if we thought about it beforehand, couldn't we?
Well, that answers a lot of questions, and I think you really summed it up so well at the end, is that the metaphors of harmony that we know in music are indeed feeling states and experiences that relate to what we can experience and manifest in our lives.
Yes.
Profound work. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you, Stephen. And you know, what you just said is just so true, and the fact that I'm coming from a place of sound work, sound healing, it's helped me so much to understand the deeper states of consciousness, and not even the deeper states, our everyday states of consciousness, because the reality is, as all of the cultures have told us through their creation mythologies and legends and so forth, that all life is vibrational, all creation is vibration, and everything has arisen from vibration. As you know, modern science is supporting this through concepts such as the string theory and other advances of quantum physics, where they're seeing that everything is energy in motion, everything is vibrating. And using, I call them more than metaphors at this point, of sound and music technology, the understanding and the language helps us, because everything is vibrating, everything is emanating. And when we realize that, and when we realize that the feeling states guide our consciousness, guide our awareness all the time, whether we realize it or not, the feeling states guide us. The more we invest our awareness in those feeling states, the more we understand that everything is vibrational, and we can then attune to things more easily, or attune to something else. You know, if we don't like the feeling states in a room because somebody's upset about something, then just tune in to a different frequency. You know, we talk about changing channels. Just tune your own awareness into the feeling states you want to have. If you learn to hold those feeling states of coherence, even in situations that are profoundly dissonant or dysfunctional or something else where people are really upset, you hold the coherence, and it actually can entrain the entire space into that coherent state. The Buddhists have a lot to share about this. They talk about the nature of compassion as being the most profound tool that we know. That they talk about, for instance, the Vajra, the Tibetan bell that comes with the Dorje or Vajra. The Vajra is that lightning bolt of energy that cuts through all obscuration. And it's composed of compassion. They say it's the hardest substance known to humanity, and yet it's composed of compassion, and it will cut through everything. And we work with that very understanding in the practices, and it works. I recommend you try it. Holding compassion, and it will cut through all of those obscurations. It's just that we tend to get frightened when people get angry or upset around us, or we tend to go into sorrow or pity with someone grieving. And reality is, if we hold the higher coherent states, it will help lift them. It will be a service to them to help to lift them into more clarity and coherence themselves. So we're actually doing a service, and it's profoundly, profoundly beneficial.
That's also a really good point. Pity rather evolves or transforms, upshifts to compassion. Words to live by, indeed. Oh, great. That's part of what keeps you flying around the world.
That's what does it. You know, people hear about or experience the practices, and I'm very grateful to be able to offer this work, but I'm just literally being called around the planet to offer the work, and as well as to do work with the Earth itself, because you know, many people know about this shift in consciousness that's occurring. It's certainly in your community, in my community, it's kind of standard language. We all know about 2012 at some level. We all know that something big is happening. You know, the new age that you helped to coin the term of new age music, you know, so long ago, you know, where it's been a part. We all know that this new age is coming, and here it is. We're on the cusp of it now. And many people, though, are leaving the Earth out of the formula for some reason. They look at human consciousness and forget that the Earth is part of the shift. and we are part of the earth. And we're finding that by honoring the earth, by learning to go into relationship with the earth, that we're awakening a deeper sense of self as well as a deeper awareness of the earth herself. And we've been engaged in similar sound practices out in sacred sites and in just natural landscapes, just by singing songs of grace and thanks to the earth. She responds. The elements of the earth respond. And I could go into a deeper conversation about that if you wanted. But it's just a very, very beautiful and beneficial part of the work.
Actually, I would like you to go a little further into that. I'm certainly aware of the ancient tradition, but I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, when it starts right here, Stephen, that pretty much every indigenous and every wisdom society of the world, now let me just stop for a moment and explain that, because I use the term a lot. Indigenous is fairly self-explanatory. It would be traditional people. Fundamentally, we think of them as more of a tribal-based people, whereas wisdom traditions or wisdom schools is something I might speak of. And I'm talking about all of the different cultures who have a philosophical understanding of the nature of life based in ancient wisdom traditions, such as the Tibetan Buddhist or the Hindu yogic Vedic traditions or the Christian mystical cultures, the Hebraic cultures, all of those ancient cultures, the African cultures around the world, Australian people certainly too, though I would tend to call that more of the indigenous, but they all have wisdom schools within them which understand that everything is living. All life is living, and living and conscious. And if we understand that, if we accept that, the more we begin to accept and believe it, we begin finding that different aspects of the earth literally respond to us. I've been initiated in a number of schools, of all of the schools I just mentioned, and many others also. I think specifically right now the Caro traditions, who the Caro Indians are tribal peoples who live on a 15,000-foot plateau in central Peru. And they were pretty much lost to modern society until the 1950s when they were rediscovered. They are considered the high wisdom keepers and ancient lineage carriers of the Inca traditions. That includes many centuries-old prophecies as well as teachings. And right up front, they would say everything is living. The whole cosmos is living. And they teach practices that awaken what they call the seed of our potential, which is it's the seed of enlightenment. And they interact with the living energies of the earth, the ancestral energies and other things, to activate that seed and feed and nourish it, much like you would a seed in your own garden. And we all know that you need to give those seeds the right amount of earth, the right amount of water, the right amount of sunlight, and the right amount of air. And if not, then they won't flourish. And it's that combination of nourishing those seeds with the elements of earth, air, fire, and water that bring all of the plants of our garden into flourishing. And as this occurs in the human spirit through the practices of the Caro, you come into a place that they call the flower of blossoming joy. It's literally coming into the awakened state. It's into the bliss states, the Buddhists would say. You open your blossom of joy to creation and offer it in service to creation. It's a fundamental understanding of the awakening according to the Caro peoples, that you offer your flower of blossoming joy to creation in service. And there's much more to it than that. But it speaks to this fundamental understanding of the importance of awakening awareness to the living energies of the earth. They actually say that this transformation of the planet right now will not occur until enough of us have a living relationship with these living energies of the earth and cosmos. That's what will bridge us into the levels of consciousness that we can open into the even greater states that are about to occur. But it requires enough of us to be in those living relationships in order for it to happen.
Right. Now, critical mass, yes.
It is, exactly. It is a critical mass, and there's more specific information they give through their prophecies, but that's fundamentally it in a nutshell. And in my own life, I have just been greatly blessed with many unforeseen visionary experiences where I am out on the earth in some place. I literally have had trees and stones and things talk to me. Sometimes it's just of my own whatever, and sometimes it's been when an elder has guided me, you need to go here and do that, and I do something, and boom, something opens up, a gateway opens up to another world, and I suddenly have beings from other dimensions of consciousness speaking to me. There's a canyon right here in Vermont, a very small canyon by Western standards, meaning with the Western U.S., your canyons are much larger than those out here. It's a very beautiful, pristine canyon that looks like the earth just cracked open and giant stone foot and a river runs through the middle of it. And it happens to be a place that holds ancient knowledge embedded in the stones. Now, to many listeners, that may be, to the Western mind, that just is a far-out concept. But to indigenous and wisdom cultures around the world, it's commonplace that the wisdom of the people were embedded in their ancient stone sites. In this particular case, it is a canyon and not a stone temple or a human-built temple. It's a natural canyon in which this occurred. But an elder asked me to go there, told me that I needed to go there, and didn't give me specific practice to do. But over months and years of practice there, just singing my heart out in thanks to the beauty of the earth, the guardian beings of that place started opening the gateways to the greater aspects of consciousness held therein. And the types of things I was taught was really amazing. But going into altered states, and you know, I say this at the possibility of some listeners ridiculing the experience, but having giant stones literally come alive and speak to me and share very important messages with me in my on-life transition. To the Western mind, these types of experiences are just crazy. But to the indigenous mind, it's normal. This is the everyday way of looking at the world, that everything is living. And when we learn to respect and rever that and seek to enter relationship with it, it will respond. It will awaken and respond. I can't tell you the number of times that we have been out, right out here in my own front yard. I live in a very beautiful, pristine, natural environment of Vermont. I don't have a house inside other than my own. I have a beautiful yard and landscape with forests surrounding us, an open fields, and a beautiful small river cutting through a very tiny gorge right on my property. It's an exquisite place to be, and we do the opening and healing ceremonies here all the time. We have beautiful ceremonial drums. We call them the grandfather drums. They're like large powwow drums that we use. And, you know, one day we were going out to do a ceremony with one of the groups working here, and I went to gather a hawk fan, a wing of a hawk that's used to, in prayer ceremonies, as we use sage and sacred herbs, burning them and saying or singing prayers to the spirit and the kingdoms of the world. And I went to gather a hawk, and I had an impulse, no, you need to pick up this falcon wing today. I had not used this falcon wings, those very cherished, for probably 2 years. And I love the falcon wing, but I've been working a lot the medicine of hawk, and that's what I use almost exclusively in the practices. Falcon wing said, no, I really want to be used today. And I listened to these impulses. I took it. I went outside. We did the ceremony. We were done with the ceremony a half hour, 45 minutes later. We went and sat and just enjoyed the company of each other as the whole weekend practice was over. And as we were sitting out on the lawn on the banks of this beautiful brook next to my home, we started spotting 1, 2, 3 large birds flying up around us. And before the whole thing was over, we had 17 falcons circling the property. And
wow.
I've never seen more than 3 falcons at a time in my life in Vermont.
Right.
Here we
have
17 circling the property all at the same time. This is the way that the medicines of the earth come back and speak. These living aspects of the earth honor us for honoring them. They are so grateful, so grateful. And in my experience, there are living wisdom keepers, ancestral beings of the different cultures that have lived in places, that did ceremony in different places, that often are still there that you can commune with. If you go to the ancient temple sites, whether it's in the Americas or in the ancient stone sites of England and Brittany, France, and places like that, or Greece or Egypt, there are other places. If you learn to listen, be reverent, speak from a place of respect and honoring, asking the right questions, these living wisdom keepers of these ancient places will step forward and begin working with you conscientiously, guiding you and showing you how the energies were contained in the sites and how to use the energies of the sites, the geometries of the sites, different aspects of wisdom that is contained in the site, of how to work with the ancient wisdom contained in the site. And when you start learning that and working coherently with that, the nature of the practices expand exponentially, and the experience that you have with it also takes you to these places that there's just really no language for. It's just incredible joy and appreciation.
Well said. Great story. I've also never seen or heard of 17 falcons circling like that. I've seen a couple after doing
yes.
practices myself, but that indeed, I was getting chills as you said
yes.
that story.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Before we end, we're getting right near the end of our time. The website that people can find out more about your work is, I see from the email, thecenteroflight.net.
Yes, that's thecenteroflight.net.
.net. And then there's a, to find out more about the Sound Healers Training, they would go to that same website, and then it's /soundhealerstraining.html.
Yes, and there's three aspects to that work. One is working with sound, teaching people how to use sound therapeutically. We go through many different aspects of working with instruments and voice and different modalities of that. People can take 1 weekend or up to 3 years of training. Then we do the practices working with personal consciousness, much like I was just sharing with the Three Hearts practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out to sites on the earth and do earth work as well. So that's what people will find there.
Excellent. Well, this has been extraordinary. I thank you for sharing your presence, your wisdom, your practices, and for sharing that with our audience. I have a feeling people will want to come back to this archive more than once when they know and are ready to do this and can get themselves physically situated to do the grounding and anchoring process. And I think you've gifted all of us today with a wonderful experience and something that we can take as we move on in our life and spread the coherence and spread the compassion.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I deeply appreciate the opportunity to share, and I also thank you for the incredible work you are doing and have done for so long, helping the entire sound community coming into understanding of the healing power of sound. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And folks, that about does it for us today. You've been listening to Stephen Halpern and Friends on the I Am Healthy Radio Network. Until next time, keep some great sound, compassion, and coherence in your heart and in your being. God bless.
I Am Healthy Radio, the global voice for alternative health and the next paradigm.